Hello, and welcome to The Word Unveiled, the weekly teaching podcast of the First Baptist Church of Crestview, Florida, with Dr. Stan Lewis, our lead pastor. We invite you to join us each week as Pastor Stan uncovers timeless and life-changing truth through expositional teaching from God's Word. First Baptist Crestview is a local family of believers who love each other, our community, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are thankful to be a part of your day today. Please go to our website, fbcew.org, for more information about our church. Now, let's dig into God's Word with Pastor Stan.
Mother's Day is always a difficult day to preach on because there's a lot of emotions in this room. And I've said that for many years. And today for me, having lost my mom just a couple months ago, this is a very emotional day. But last night, our middle daughter welcomed our first granddaughter into the world. And so we celebrate. And so there's grief and celebration in our family today. And, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, and we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so I know a lot of people are in this room today. You've lost your mom, and this is a difficult day for you. There may be folks in this room, they want to be a mom, and that's not happened yet. So that can be difficult as well. But I want to talk today from Proverbs 31 about how to recognize a mother. How to recognize a mother? What does she look like? Now, I confess to you, got home really late last night from Pensacola after all the celebration and all the stuff with the birth. And so I am not as prepared as I would like to be. And I'm a little tired today. So if I say something that's kind of off, just forgive me for that. It's like when I visit people in the hospital and they're on medication, that covers a lot of multitudes of sins. So that's where I am today. I'm just kind of a little bit tired. So I'm going to try to preach God's word faithfully today. So verses 10 through 12, I want us to look at the first point that we see in this text. I'm not going to reread this. I do want to thank Dan for reading it for us. But look at verses 10 through 12, where we see a mother is recognized by her personal reflections. Her personal reflection. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. A mother is recognized by her personal reflection. First of all, her character. Verse 10, we see who can find a virtuous wife. That word virtuous there means valorous, a person of valor. It's the word ha'il. It's the same word that was used when David described his 30 mighty, virtuous, valorous men. That is the picture here. This is a valorous person. This is a person who, I mean, her character is one of strength. It is one of virtue, but it's one of valor. She is a courageous person. So we recognize her by her character, but also by her trustworthiness. Verse 11 says, so the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Trustworthiness. You think of being trustworthy and what that means for marriage. You know, there's four levels to a successful marriage. The first level is that you have two people who have found themselves in the will of Christ. They're both Christians, and they have that in common. Well, the second layer is that of love. And that's, you know, there's different types of love that in a relationship. But we're talking about the 1 Corinthians 13 type of love, where there's a commitment kind of love here. And there's through thick and thin, there's good and bad, there's, you know, the sickness and in health, all of that, this commitment love. But the next layer of that is trust. And without trust, you can love someone who is untrustworthy. You can. They may have violated the trust, but you can be loving toward that person and committed to them. But you can't move to the fourth level, which is true intimacy. If you don't trust someone, you really can't pour out your soul to them. You can't share with them the intimacies of your life. I'm not talking about a physical intimacy here. I'm talking about a spiritual and a mental intimacy where you allow them to see your vulnerabilities. You allow them all the dangerous information of who you are, the things you fear, your failures, your aspirations, what you want to accomplish, what you fail to accomplish, your disappointments, where you get angry, those things that could easily be used against you. If you don't trust that person, you won't share those things with them because you're afraid of what will happen. And so this woman is trustworthy. The heart of her husband safely, there's no reservations. He safely trusts her. He's willing to give everything to her and let her see everything, open his coat up, because he knows she's not going to use that against him. He can safely be vulnerable with her. And so we see her character, her trustworthiness, but then we see her intentions in verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is the intention of her heart. The word evil there is ra in the Hebrew, and it is a hidden quality of evil that you can't look at someone and see them as being evil, but on the surface they look, well, this is a pretty good person, but you get to know them a little bit, it's like, whoa, wait a second. This person has evil intentions. And so she has good intentions. She has pure motives. She's a person of purity, and her the intentions of her heart is that of purity and that of being trustworthy. There's not a hidden quality of evil. You know, the Latin word for white is candidus, candidus. We get our word candidate from that. And the picture is from the Roman world that a person who is a candidus for an office, a candidate, they would wear a white robe to show how they were a trustworthy person, that they were not evil, they were pure. And just like politicians today that are all pure and as a snow, you know, wind-driven snow, that, you know, they present themselves as, I'm the greatest person ever. You can trust me. I'm pure. Well, this person truly is pure. The intentions of her heart is that of goodness and not evil. So we see a mother is recognized by her personal reflections, her character, her trustworthiness, and her intentions. But then a mother is recognized by her practical expressions, her personal reflections, now her practical expressions. Listen to verses 13 through 24. Verse 13 through 16, we see an expression of diligence. Diligence. She's industrious and she works hard, but not just for herself. This is not about her aspiring to obtain things just so she can say, look at what I've done. No, the whole motivation between her aspirations is for other people. Listen to verses 13 through 16. She seeks wool and flax and works with her hands willingly. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants, other people. This is not about her. It's not about, you know, her building her brand and her being this influencer that everybody loves and raises up. No, this is about her helping other people. She considers a field and she buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. And so we see that she's industrious and she works hard, but it's not for herself. She's a selfless person. This is an expression of her diligence, but then we see an expression of her strength. Verses 17 through 19. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. And so we see this person of great strength, of great endurance. I mean, she's always working, but she's a person of great strength. You know, with that word strength, there also comes this picture of how strong she is for her family. We should never, ever underestimate the strength of a mother toward her family, and both her love and her fury. I had a good friend. His name was Kevin Arant. And I was a freshman in high school on the same track team with Kevin. And Kevin was a senior in high school. And Kevin was just a man's man. Even at 17, this guy looked like a man. I mean, he was a football player. He was big. He was fast on the track team. He had a full beard, mustache. I mean, he looked like a man. I mean, just like, wow, this guy is, I mean, he's just masculine. And one day Kevin got in his mind that he didn't like, as a senior, all this practice with track, and he was going to quit. So he told our coach, Frank Lace, I'm quitting. Frank's like, fine, leave your jersey on my desk. See you later, Kevin. Well, the next day, Kevin comes walking down the steps following this little bitty lady. And he is just like he's on the Bataan death march. Just, you know, his head's hanging down. And this little bitty woman's walking down. This is Mrs. Arant. And she's wearing a dress, and she's about that tall, and just the quintessential Southern lady. And I'm standing there listening to this, because we were all like, what's going to happen here? And Kevin's just standing there, you know, and here's Frank Lay, the coach, and Mrs. Arant. She walks, she's like, Coach Lay, Kevin has made a serious error in judgment. And he would like to apologize to you, and he would like to be back on the team if possible. And he will make up all that he has missed. And Kevin's just sitting there, he's like, yes, that's what I want to do. He is just like beaten down by the fury of mom. And Frank's like, Kevin, you want to make up all the, I mean, and Frank was brutal as a coach. I mean, you know, making up stuff with Frank's just like, oh, he was abusive as a coach. And Kevin's like, yes, sir, I'll do whatever I've got to do. And Miss Arant just kind of said, okay, Kevin, you go to work. And she walked off, and that was it. And Kevin went to work, and he finished the year, and they went to state, and, I mean, won state that year. You know, but that was the strength of a mom. And we see this woman has this expression of strength. And it's easy to underestimate them, isn't it? Until the fury comes out. And grown men who are just warriors, they will quail and quake at the fury of a mom. And now we then see the expression of her compassion. Verses 20 through 21. Yeah, she has strength, but she is also compassionate. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is of fine linen and purple. So we see this woman, yes, she's strong, but she's also tender as well. And she has this love for others and for her family. There's a mercifulness to her. There's this balance. It's not just this raw, mean strength. There's this kindness that is in her as well, this compassion for others, for her family. And then verse 22 that I just read, we see not just an expression of diligence and strength and compassion, but an expression of modesty, an expression of modesty. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Yes, she's well-dressed, but she's modestly dressed as well. And she wants to pass that on to coming generations. She wants them to understand that modesty is something that is not restrictive. It's not something that is to be sneered at. It's not something to be, you know, well, we don't do that anymore. That's just, no, modesty is something that is beautiful. It is something that is lovely. You know, when you just expose everything, people lose their respect for you. But when there's a modesty in your life, they have a great respect for you because it's like this person cares about themselves, that there's something deeper in them, that there's a love they have for people around them to not make people feel uncomfortable. There's this beauty of modesty. And so we see these practical expressions of diligence, of strength, of compassion, of modesty, but also this expression of influence. Listen to verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates, not because of himself, because of her. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Other people find favor with other folks because of this woman. She has such a great influence that people are like, you know, that's so-and-so's husband. Man, we can trust that guy. Based on the strength of her character, if you're around that person, people automatically think, if you're her child, if you're her husband, you must be a great person too because of who she is. She never wants her family to be looked at with skepticism, to be looked down upon. You know, a husband with an honorable wife, he's seen as being trustworthy. He's seen as being strong. He's seen as being honorable, not just based on his character, but the character of his wife. I have known men who were committed to the ministry and at times could not get a church because the woman they had married was not this woman. There was something wrong with her character. She was not trustworthy. She had no commitment to God's work. She was someone who was strident and angry and vicious, or she was controlling. And people are like, well, we like him, but gosh, we can't have her here. And then I've known guys who were some of the worst preachers in the world, and they had difficulty, you know, just learning the Bible and preaching, and they had the greatest wife, and churches would hire them because, like, we got to put up with him, but we're going to get her in the deal. And that's a pretty good deal right there. And of course, over time, you know, he got better. My good friend Jim Law, when Jim came to the church in Gonzales where I was a youth minister years and years ago, we shared the same birthday, and he came, and I remember listening to him the first time going, ew, that he's not a great preacher. And in fact, his wife, Gwen, we were sitting there one day talking, and she's like, you know, the first time I heard Jim preach, I thought, we're going to starve. We're just going to starve. And through her encouragement, and of course, Jim laughed about that. You know, he thought it was funny. But through her encouragement and her helping to build him up, Jim is a phenomenal pastor and preacher today. He's still at that church. And that church has done incredible things through our convention and overseas. I mean, working in the country of China, that church, it's not a big church, but it is a church that has such worldwide influence because of this pastor who has this wife who is of such great strength and character and who has been such an encourager to him that she's helped him to become a much better man and a much better preacher. And he'll tell you, man, my wife is my greatest champion. She has been such a blessing to me, and she has helped to make our ministry great. And so we see this expression of influence in this woman's life, but then there's this expression of productivity. Verse 24, she makes linen garments, and she sells them. She supplies the sashes for the merchants. So we see she's not lazy. She takes initiative in life. She's always looking for ways to help others and to be industrious and to provide for her family. And so these are the expressions, the practical expressions of a mother. We see her personal reflections, her practical expressions, and then finally we see a mother is recognized by her purposeful direction. Her purposeful direction. Verse 25 and following. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Even last night, my three daughters, they're in that room where my middle child is having that baby and had the child. Just what my girls were saying about their mom, that they were blessed to have Kristen as their mom. And now there's another generation that has come that will help to rise up and call that lady blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well. You excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. A mother is recognized by her purposeful direction. She smiles at the future. She's not wringing her hands. She's not worried that things are going to fall apart. She smiles at the future. Why? Why is she smiling at the future? Not because she's living some idyllic life, not because everything's just perfect and wonderful and she's just going to live on the beach and, you know, just all the wealth is just rolling in and she has no worries, no cares. That's not why. The reason why is because of verse 30, her faith. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It's her faith. That is what drives her to the future. She is looking to the future because she has placed her faith in Christ, and she knows that's where the future is. She knows that's where her family's going. She knows that God is waiting for her there and that she'll welcome her family one day. She looks to the future because she, not just she's morally good and strong and industrious, compassionate, smart. All things are great, but there's more than just that. There's a lot of great people in the world who are just like that, but they're not followers of Christ. Jesus makes all the difference. Solomon sets the hook with verse 30. Charm is deceitful. Charm is deceitful. The word charm, kahan, means popularity and favor. Man, is our world, is it not chasing popularity today? I mean, whether it's, you just name the social media platform. There are people chasing popularity. They want likes. They want followers. They want people looking at their TikTok videos. They want all this stuff. They want popularity. Charm is deceitful. Being loved by the world is what that is. She realizes that that's deceitful, just to go out and try to seek popularity. Beauty, yofei, attractive in appearance or desirability. Beauty is passing. It's passing. She understands this. She knows that, look, beauty one day is going to pass. Everything in this world, everything we prize in this world, everything we hold dear in this world is going to pass away. And yet, you look at the focus on passing beauty today. Everywhere you look, we hold this up. This is the ideal. This is what we're trying to hang on to. From cosmetic surgery to the things we put in our body to just, we're trying to hang on to this. This thing that is passing, that's going to go away. It's vain. It's literally a vapor that's just going to vanish. It's going to fade. But what doesn't fade? What isn't deceitful? But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Fear. She does have fear. Yes, she's a fearless person, but she's also a fearful person. She's fearless in that she is strong and confident. She's unafraid of the future. And there's a reason why she's unafraid of the future, because she fears the Lord. She fears God. She has a profound love and respect and humility before Him. This shows her faith. This is the difference maker in a mother who, you come to that point when we have the funeral and everybody's talking about, oh, mom did this, mom was great, mom took us all these places and we had a wonderful time with this and she was, you know, strong and she had a business and all this. And yet there's this component that's missing. There's no faith. It's heartbreaking. And then on the other side, you've got this family that says, you know, mom, yes, she was loving and she was kind and she was industrious and all. But the one thing mom taught us was to love Jesus with all of our heart. She pointed us to Him. And that has made all the difference in our lives because of her example. What sort of faith is this? Well, we see it. And I'm going to close with three things about this faith that this woman has. First is found in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. And I read about this earlier from at the offering time about Timothy's mom and grandmother. And then Paul, he came to a place called Derbe and Lystra. So he's traveling, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. She believed in Jesus, but his father was Greek. So she's married to this Greek who he's probably a pagan. He probably, you know, goes to the various temples and worships the various Greek gods. But what made the difference in Timothy's life was not his father, but his mother. That's where his faith came from. And this is a saving faith. She believed in Jesus. But also, she had a sincere faith. Back over in 2 Timothy, where I read from verse 5, where Paul is, he's talking about Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, the true faith that is in you. Where'd you get that from, Timothy? Well, it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is now in you also. And so we see that it's a saving faith, it's a sincere faith, but it's also a satisfying faith. And I'll close with these verses. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. When I would visit my mom in the nursing home toward the end of her life, almost without fail, when I would walk in, she would be either sitting in the bed or in the chair where they would put her. She didn't want to get out of the bed. She didn't want to be in the chair, but they'd put her there. And she would have open her Bible, and she would be reading. She wasn't a perfect woman by any means, and that's not what we're talking about today. But she was a godly woman. She was a woman who loved the Lord Jesus with all of her heart. She was fiercely protective of her family. She was hardworking. She was industrious. She did what it took to send, you know, me to college and help my siblings do what they wanted to do. I mean, she did what she had to do. But the greatest thing that she ever did for us was to be a Christian woman who loved Jesus with all of her heart and pointed us to Him. And so I say to my mom today, well done. Well done. Thank you, Nell Lewis, for the faith that you passed on to me and my brother and my two sisters and your grandchildren and now your great-grandchildren. We are blessed today, and we should be grateful for all the Lord has done for us. We rejoice today because God has blessed us with these wonderful women in our lives, moms, those who love us, discipline us. Sometimes they're co-conspirators with us. And, you know, they make us laugh. They make us cry. And they care for us. And we're a blessed people today because of that. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to stand after I pray, and then we're going to sing. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I thank you that I have a heritage that's been passed down from my mom. It came from my grandmother. And I thank you, Lord, for Alice Strickland, who was such a strong Christian, who passed it on to her daughter, who passed it on to her children. Lord, I praise you today for the blessings of mothers. I pray, Lord, for everyone in this room today, for those who still have their mom, Lord, I rejoice with them. Those who have said goodbye to their mom and they're waiting to see her again in heaven, Lord, I pray you'll bless them and comfort them today. Lord, we thank you for new life, these children that were dedicated today. Lord, thank you for these young moms. I thank you for my daughter who today is a brand new mom. I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to live up to the example that we see in Scripture, knowing that they're not called to be perfect, but they're called to be followers of Jesus and to pass on their faith to their children. Thank you for the time we can just spend time as a family today, rejoicing, celebrating, and remembering. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for being a part of The Word Unveiled with Stan Lewis. To connect with Pastor Stan, find out more information about FBC Crestview, or to find out about the Bible, your faith, or the way to salvation in Christ, please visit our website, fbcew.org, or contact us through the social media links in the podcast description. We hope you can join us again next week as we continue uncovering God's truth in The Word Unveiled.